everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode. And today, we're so blessed and excited to have Pastor Ross Akamene on Catalyst Stories. Now, Ross is our Worship and Connect pastor here at Catalyst. He's also one of our elders. He and his wife, Ida, are involved with family ministries and facilitate a number of various workshops and events here at Catalyst, including programs by Danny Silk called Loving Our Kids on Purpose and Keep Your Love On. This year, Ross and Ida will celebrate their 26-year wedding anniversary. They have two children, son Jackson and daughter Eliana. And with that, Ross, welcome to Catalyst Stories.
Hey, John. Glad to be here today.
Okay, so I'm going to just be honest with our listeners. This is take two because, and I did this before, I mentioned this, I did this before. I forgot to hit the record button when we first started. So, it sounds like, it's a major faux pas and it wasn't done intentionally. And so I get to welcome you on twice, I guess, right?
Oh, and the stuff that they're going to miss from that first one.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm going to make sure the good stuff that we capture that again. So, And it's all good stuff, actually. But I'm finally glad that we could have this moment. And you know, I know several times we had to reschedule again. So I guess fourth or fifth time is a charm, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But like I said the first time, I thought we could start off by me asking you a couple questions that maybe our listeners haven't heard or don't know about you. So I thought I'd start by asking you how you and Ida first met.
So Ida is my wife.
Yeah.
And as John said, we've been married for 26 years. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah.
And we met through a parachurch organization called AACF, Asian American Christian Fellowship. And she was at UC Santa Barbara. And I was at Long Beach State, Cal State, yeah. Long Beach. And just through, they would have joint events together, all the AACFs would have. Yeah. And so I met her when she was a freshman. And
You were a senior, I think, at the time, or you remember?
No. I was a little bit older than her.
Okay.
A couple years.
Okay.
And, you know, Cal State Long Beach, we have a tendency to take a little bit longer to graduate. So, it took me a little bit longer. So I met her when she was a freshman but I didn't see her for, I don't know, 3 years, 4 years. And so I re-met her again when she was a senior and playing volleyball together and stuff.
Okay. So you had already graduated and you were involved with AACF in leadership?
That was actually my last year.
Oh, okay. Got you.
So her senior year was my last year at Long Beach.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
As well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me about your first date.
Mm. Yeah. So it was her senior year.
Yeah,
and I was working, so I worked part-time and went to school part-time.
Yeah.
I worked part-time as a wedding photographer, and so my boss said, hey, why don't you go up to Santa Barbara, there's a school up there, and go for a week, and photography class for a week. So I was like, yeah, okay, I'll go up there, and then I'll hang out with Santa Barbara AACFers while I'm up there in the evening. I'll go to class during the day and then hang out with them.
Yeah, so I got to stop you there because he tells you to go up to Santa Barbara for a week. Are you trying not to sound so excited? Are you thinking, okay, let me think about it.
Let me pray about that. Yeah. Then. No, let me see. Oh, yeah, I think God's leading me to go there.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. So, I was able to go to the classes and then hang out with Ida. We weren't dating at the time, so we went on our first date to a nice Japanese restaurant up there. And the rest of the days, I was just hanging out, the evenings, hanging out with some of the AACF people, playing basketball, going to their meetings, and just getting to know her and her environment and the people that she hangs out with. And so it was a lot of fun, of fun being up there.
Yeah, and then talk about that reaction she had when you showed up, because I think of the way you were dressed, right?
Oh, yeah. So I went to her apartment, and then, you know, nothing super fancy, but just like a button-up shirt and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she answers the door, and she shows up, like, shorts and a T-shirt, thinking that, I don't know, we're going to McDonald's or something. Yeah. And I was like, well, you know, and for me, I didn't really care. Like, oh, yeah, oh, she, you know, I wasn't, like, disappointed or anything.
Yeah,
but she goes, oh, hold on a second. Then she goes into her room and changes. Yeah. And then comes out with something nicer. So then, let's go to this Japanese restaurant that I've heard about. So
yeah,
that was our first date.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So you dated for 4 years, and tell me about the time that you realized she was the one for you.
Yeah, I mean, we went through ups and downs. I didn't tell you this in our first version 1.0, but we went through ups and downs in the 4 years. That's why it took 4 years. But I think over time, we really saw in each other, well, I can only speak for myself. Yeah. I saw in her someone that has the qualities of someone that I'd want to be with for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, through the ups and downs, through the arguments, through the fighting, and through, you know, just different disagreements and different values and different choices that we've made. I just felt like, oh yeah, she's someone we can work through these differences, we can work through these disagreements, and still love each other.
Yeah,
and that's when I felt like, yeah, this is someone I want to spend the rest of my life with.
So. Yeah. So speaking of that, you know, you're now married, and we'll talk about the wedding, but it's been said that behind every great man is a great woman, and so talk about the support and encouragement you've received from Ida over the years and what that's meant to you.
Well, she is someone who's always on my side. Mm. She's always in my corner. No matter how bad the worship or the message went, or if I've messed up as a dad, even this is something you're going to find amazing, John.
That's okay. It's, yeah. Jackson, John, you know, we're in the J words, yeah. Right?
Yeah, John, you're going to find this even amazing too, is even when we fight, that I feel like she's not, we are coming up with different ideas or different points of view of whatever it is that we're talking about, mm-hmm. but I feel like she's for me.
Wow.
She's for the relationship.
Yeah.
And so that always humbles me it's not about winning the argument. It's not about proving myself. I don't have to prove myself.
Mm-hmm.
If your wife is on your side, even when you're fighting, oh man. And so, you know, for me too, I want to be that husband that is willing to listen, that is willing to ask questions about what she's going through and to pursue deeper connection, deeper communication with her, rather than just trying to be right or trying to have the right answers or trying to win the argument, right? I just feel like, yeah, when you have someone that's on your side, there's a lot of things that you can do that you think you would never be able to do.
Wow.
And she's always been like that.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
That's such an amazing testimony, Ross.
Mm.
And so since we're on the subject, on your wedding day, you witnessed a miracle of God. And so I wondered if you can talk about what happened and how God showed up for you on your wedding day.
Sure. You know, I think when you get married, there can be questions, you know, about like, is this the right person? Am I really? You know, I mean, just all these different things. And it's good when you get confirmation. It's good when you get affirmation, whether it be from, you know, your parents or friends or whoever, right?
Yeah.
This was the greatest confirmation, affirmation that I had received, that anyone can receive, really. And so let me tell you the story. It had been raining at least for a few weeks. And the forecast was, you know, on December 6th, 1997, that's when we got married, that there's just going to be storms. And so we're like, oh, no, this is not going to be good for the wedding. Okay, well, I mean, there's nothing we can do. We already, you know, it's already set and everything.
Yeah.
Sure enough, leading up to that, it's cloudy and it's raining and stuff.
And I'm guessing for you, being a photographer yourself, you're even probably more mindful of the weather, huh?
Yeah. I'm thinking, okay, what kind of pictures is my boss going to be able to get? Mm-hmm, and the outdoor pictures,
right.
Probably not going to be able to do anything outdoors. Everything's going to have to be indoors. So just all these different thoughts about the wedding day and the photography. Mm-hmm. But that morning, it was still cloudy, overcast, but it wasn't raining. Or it wasn't raining hard, and maybe a little misting and stuff like that, but it wasn't raining that hard. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to get some pictures outdoors. So I thought, oh, okay, that's nice. That's nice perk.
Uh-huh.
And so we get to the church, and then we go through the ceremony, and in the middle of the ceremony, the church had stained glass windows. The sun comes out. The clouds part.
Yeah.
Oh, you can hear the angels. No. But the clouds did part and the sun came out. And during the ceremony, we were bathed in sunlight, in this colored sunlight coming through the stained glass.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing because we're like, wow, this is not what we anticipated. This is not what we thought would happen.
Yeah.
And it stayed that way until the ceremony ended and we got into the car. And then it started pouring.
Wow.
And we just felt like, oh, my gosh, that was God's, his love, his gift to us, his affirmation, confirmation of this union that she and I are having. And it was, just a very emotional time in that car, just thinking, wow, God, especially because of the rain that was coming down at that point. And, we're just stunned.
Yeah.
At God's goodness and his grace upon us.
Yes.
Yeah. And it rained the rest of the day.
That's
evening. Wow. So
that's incredible. Yeah. And you know, Ross, as you were talking about that, I just thought, you know, Jesus' first miracle in John chapter 2 was done at a wedding where you know, he turned the water into wine. And I just thought, gosh, isn't that like God to wanna keep that, you know, send a sign that he's with us, that he loves us, that he's for us, to just do something like that. Huh? Okay. So, that's so awesome how he showed up for you and Ida that day. That's so awesome. So I want to transition over to worship and your music, because I know that's been a huge part of your life. When did you first start playing the guitar and singing?
Well, I've been singing for pretty much my whole life.
Okay.
Yeah, my dad loved to sing. He loved music.
Oh, okay.
And my mom, too, to a certain degree.
So they were both musicians then?
Oh, no, not musicians, but just loved, enjoyed music.
Yeah.
So my dad would, I remember my dad singing in the shower, and he had a pretty good voice.
Oh, yeah?
So if he were alive today...
Uh-huh.
And I would ask him to be on the worship team as a vocalist. Oh, and
that's a great compliment.
So singing, and then I learned the ukulele
in
elementary school.
Yeah.
And so when I got to college, I wasn't even a Christian when I first entered college.
Okay.
But the guys in AACF, they played guitar and they led worship and stuff. And so... Yeah. I was like, I want to do that. I want to learn the guitar.
Wow.
And because I've played the ukulele, I'm like, okay, I think, you know, it's two more strings, okay?
Yeah.
So they taught me. They taught me how to play. So that was 1990. And then someone gave me a small guitar. It was kind of a beater guitar.
Yeah.
And when you take to the beach and... You can even dig with and, but I just appreciated that guitar, that him thinking about me and giving. So that's what I practiced on, played on.
Okay.
And that's how I, learned how to play, stuff. And
so from there, did you get involved in worship then with AACF after that?
Yeah. Okay. So was it a couple years after I became Christian? I joined the worship team at AACF, and then was a singer first, and then the second year actually led.
Okay.
And had a good time. I knew that was something I was meant to do.
Mm.
I really enjoyed it. And so, yeah, since I would say 1991, 92, around that time,
mm-hmm.
I've been leading worship since then.
Yeah. What was the thing that first attracted you to worship leading?
I think it was, and so, you know, I didn't know the terminology back then, but I'm an exhorter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I loved exhorting the people to worship God. Mm-hmm. Right, there's different things in life that you can sing about. There's different things in life that you can get very passionate about.
Yeah,
I just from the day I became a Christian, I was like, God is everything.
Wow,
you cannot go wrong in giving your all to God.
Mm-hmm.
There's other things, like I love baseball. I enjoy the game of baseball, but you know, you just know that okay, you can't go too far, right? You can't get too crazy about the sport because it's not everything. But with God, yeah, you can give your whole life to Him and everything about your life to Him. And so to exhort other Christians, let's worship God. Mm-hmm. He has given everything to us.
Yeah.
He deserves our best. We owe it to Him. Mm-hmm. And so in worship, in even when you don't feel like it, right? Even when you're just having a bad day, even when things are good, it still doesn't matter. Because it's about Him.
Mm-hmm.
He is worthy of all our worship.
Yeah.
And so, John, being in that place of being able to exhort people and then to see people respond.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah.
It's like singing with the angels, right? Yeah. It's just, everybody's just giving their heart to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's just been an amazing journey.
Yeah.
But that's, still to this day.
Yeah.
I just love it.
Yeah.
When people engage.
Yeah.
As an exhorter, to see people like falling asleep or just kind of looking at their watch or looking at their phone. That's a little bit tough. But to see the person looking eyes up, gazing at the Lord, and you see it's like almost like their face is shining because of the glory. Mm-hmm. That's the best place to be.
Yeah.
And I love to be a part of that.
Yeah. And it's so neat, Ross, because that definitely comes through on Sunday mornings when you're up there leading that passion that you have, you know, to be in God's presence and to lead people into the presence of God is so evident. Mm. So that's so awesome that's what drew you, and you still have that passion and that fire to this day. So,
thanks. Thank you.
Yeah. So kind of along those lines. Let me back up. So how did you then start leading at Cerritos Baptist Church? How did that happen?
Let's see. How did that happen? So I started just attending. So first I was with the college group.
Okay.
I come with the college group, and a lot of them were AACFers.
Okay.
And or some form of AACF or whatever. Yeah. There's some sort of the relationship was
right. So, connected somehow.
Yeah. So I enjoyed going to that and leading worship there and just doing different things. But I was going to another church at the time.
Okay.
So I'd go on Friday nights and then go to another church on Sundays. And then when I sensed that the Lord was leading me to another church, to leave that church and go somewhere else, natural inclination was, let's go to Cerritos Baptist. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm involved with the college group already.
Yeah.
So let me go to the Sunday service. And so went there and met Ray Yoshinaga and mm-hmm. some other guys. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to take in what they were doing at the service mm-hmm. to even just make sure that this is the place where God's calling me. And so as I got to know the pastors and got to know some of the leadership and stuff, that I felt like, I think this is my landing spot, at least for now. Mm-hmm. This is where I'm supposed to be. And so as I, you know, got to know Ray and stuff and got a new guitar, it wasn't the old Beater guitar.
The one that you can dig the sand up with, right?
Spent some money and bought a guitar and stuff.
Nice.
And So Ray was like, hey, you want to join the worship team, join the worship ministry? So I was like, yeah. So I did. And I remember Hector Santin was on he was playing the drums.
Yeah.
And because this was a new area we're stepping into, he had to play with the pads on the drums to keep it muted so it wasn't so loud.
Yeah.
But it was, that was my first step into leading worship at a church.
Okay.
With a team.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun playing with Ray and some of the Charlotte and some of the other people.
Yeah.
That was my first introduction to leading with grown-ups.
Yeah. And the rest is history, as they say, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now you're at Catalyst. Mm-hmm. So since we're on the subject of Cerritos Baptist Church, you had a, what we'll call this next section, the Pastor Barry Challenge. Mm. And this was before the church plant was even named Catalyst. I don't think it had a name at that time. You had a talk with Pastor Barry, and he challenged you to ask the Lord every day how he saw you. And so I wondered if you can talk about what led up to that request and then what happened when you took on Pastor Barry's challenge.
Sure. That was a very interesting time in my life. It was, I would say, maybe around 2004, 2005, somewhere mm-hmm. around that time. So before we started Catalyst.
Yeah.
And before Catalyst was even thought of.
Right. Okay.
This is before that.
Yeah.
And I was on staff at Cerritos. I was, I think I was the worship director or something like that. Mm-hmm. And, we had an evening service called Nexus that ran its course and felt like, we ended that. And I think I was just feeling very burnt out from Nexus, doing Nexus and stuff. Mm. And spending time with the Lord and just feeling like I'm expending a lot of energy to try to connect with God and I'm not getting anything back. And I think when you're in that place, when you're stuck in that place of, like, you feel like you're doing everything you can to connect and you're not getting anything back, you know, in any relationship, right? If you're mm-hmm. giving and you're not getting much back, you just get discouraged. And I felt I was getting burnt out with ministry and even with God. Mm. And I remember having talks with Sam. Sam and I were both on, Pastor Sam, we were both on staff at Cerritos and just having talks with him about that. Just getting to a place where, I've tried small groups. I'm leading worship. I'm leading in all these different ministries and doing these different things. And I've given messages and just all these things. And it's just not working out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it got to a point where I was just like, I don't know what else to do. So I went to Pastor Barry and I asked him, hey, so, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, having a life that feels like living waters are coming out of you. Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel that way? And he said, yeah. And so I was like, okay, so what are some things that have helped you? So I can't remember exact conversation, what happened, but I remember the challenge he gave me was, why don't you ask the Lord how he sees you? Mm. And I remember thinking, okay. Is that the best you got? Okay. Well, yeah, I want to be open to whatever. So the next day, do my quiet time, reading the Bible and stuff, and then put it away and then go, okay, God, how do you see me? Talk to me. How do you see me? Mm-hmm. Nothing. Crickets. Right? Just nothing. So, okay. Well, it's about what I expected. So let me try it again tomorrow. So did it again tomorrow, the next day, and crickets. Okay, so try it again. I want to give God a shot, so let him. So I think I did it for, I'm pretty amazed how long I did it. I think it was at least 10 days.
Okay.
At least 10 days, maybe 2 weeks that I did that.
Uh-huh.
And nothing.
Mm.
And I was just like, okay, so after whatever, 10 days, two weeks, whatever it was, I was getting fed up. And frustrated. And so, okay, God, yeah, this is kind of what I expected and stuff. So so today I'm just going to read and then yeah, if you have to say anything, then go ahead. But I'm not really going to wait too much. So I sat there, waited for a little bit. Nothing came. I was like, okay, well, going on with my day. Mm-hmm. So the next day I was like, okay, you know what? I'm not even going to read. I'm just going to ask you. And if nothing, then I'm going on with my day. And so I think I did that for a couple days. And then I think it was on the third day or so that I sat there and I was like, okay, here we are again. How do you see me? So I sat there, getting bored, distracted. So kind of looking around the room, just feeling like, yeah, okay. I guess it's just another day. So then I was like, okay, God, I don't know if I'm going to keep this up. So this may be it. So, okay. So I sat there. And then all of a sudden, I got the word excited. The word excited popped in my head. And I was like, ugh. Well, that's not me. That's not. And then, yeah, I thought about that. I'm going, wow, that's not me. That's not my voice.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Because I'm not excited. I am definitely not. I'm bored. I'm disappointed. I'm discouraged. Everything opposite of excited.
Yeah.
So what was that? And then another phrase came to mind is, don't you know that I'm excited to meet with you every morning? And I was like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
That was God. And then all of a sudden I felt his presence come and just envelop me. And it was like a big hug that I felt. And I remember being on the floor and just crossing my arms.
Wow.
And over my arms, I could feel this hug come on me.
Wow.
And I was just bawling my eyes out and just crying and feeling like that's what I wanted. That was what I had been longing for.
Yes.
The hug of the Father, his presence.
Yeah.
His presence to be with me in that room, to hear his voice, to know that he is near. Not to just know it in my head, like, yeah. I've read it how many times in the Bible that he's near, but to feel it, to experience, to have that experience with him.
Wow.
And that's when everything changed.
Yeah.
Where it was like, okay, this is not just religion. I'm not doing these things just because that's what I'm paid to do or that's what, you know, good, quote unquote, good Christian is supposed to do. This is a relationship now. This is someone I'm encountering. And from that day on, it was a different side of the relationship that I experienced.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't just about what I can do for him and all this energy going up to heaven and just a little bit coming down, but he was pouring, pouring over me and saying, yeah, I'm excited.
Wow.
I'm excited. And
I'm getting the sense that from that day, it's almost like it became a two-way where it's not just you praying to God, but you're interacting, you're fellowshipping. You're, like you said, it's a relationship after that point.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Where I felt before it was just one way.
Yeah.
And just a little bit. I think I even told Barry that it feels like he's using an eyedropper and just like a little drop that's coming onto me. When I'm trying to give him all this stuff and just a little eyedropper of blessing or whatever, favor or whatever. And then after that point, it felt like, oh my gosh, a waterfall. I'm sitting under a waterfall. And
Yeah. That's so awesome, Ross. And now let me ask you this. Why do you think it took so long to hear from God? I mean, it was several, a couple weeks and then another 3 days after that.
You know, John, I think now that I look back, so after years, it's been, years since that happened, that I look back and I go, I think one of the things that God likes to do with us is bring either his revelation or blessing or whatever, but he doesn't want to just hand it to us and go, here it is.
Yeah.
This is it. This is your, I think there are times when he enjoys, it's like the hide and go seek or the pursuit.
Yes.
It's the, one thing I think I had shared with you before about Easter, and it was around Easter, I think it was after Easter that we talked about this, but it's almost like the Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
That God enjoys hiding revelation or truth or answers to prayer or blessings or whatever.
Right.
He doesn't want to just put it at our feet and go, okay, there it is. There's your Easter egg. It's right there at your feet. I mean, for kids, how fun would that be? That wouldn't be fun at all.
Right.
But it's the joy of searching.
Yes.
It's the joy of looking. It's the journey. And I could imagine even God, like, you know, when your kids are looking, and they're looking and looking and looking, and you as the parent that hid the eggs, you're sitting there going, oh, I see one. You know, it's in the bushes. Okay, a little bit higher. Okay, what color is it? You know, and it's you're with your child helping them to find those eggs. Because you want them to find it. You want them to find it. And then the joy, like, oh, I found one. I found one, you know. And I feel like the Lord does the same thing with us.
Yeah.
Is that he enjoys being on this journey of discovery.
Yes.
This journey of unearthing treasures.
Yeah.
Where we see things. We're like, okay, God, I'm not getting it. I'm reading this verse over and over. I'm not getting it. What is it? And he keeps saying to us, keep going. Keep digging.
Yeah.
Keep going. There's something I have for you.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And it's like, okay, God. Okay, God. Okay, God. Or keep pursuing. Or keep, you know, whatever it is. He encourages us to keep going.
Yes.
And I just feel like, yeah, that's part of the journey, is learning to be resilient, learning not to give up, but to keep pursuing him.
Yes.
And especially pursuing him because we know that he has something good for us.
Uh-huh.
It's not like, you know, he has like poison for us or something spoiled or like a rock or a snake, right? But he has something for us that he wants us to engage with. He wants us to be surprised and go, oh, is this it, God? Is this what you wanted? Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Thank you. And just coming before him in gratitude, right?
Yeah.
So I really believe that in that journey, whether it was, you know, a few weeks that I was going on, but I think it was even longer than that, where it's just this pursuit of him, pursuit of his presence, pursuit of his voice, and not giving up.
Yes.
And, again, I didn't know that at the time, but now
sure.
that I look back, I go, that's the journey he wants us on.
Yeah.
Not to give up.
Exactly. And, you know, as you were sharing that, Ross, I thought, isn't that just like God? Because he pursues us. He searches for us. He waits for us. And I think of that verse in Matthew 18:12, and this is the New King James Bible. You know, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them go astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? God pursues us in love and wants us to pursue him out of our love for him. So, you know, that idea that he pursues us and he wants us to have that same desire, like you were saying, that to persevere and look for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And,
And I just love that example of the Easter egg hunt, the idea that, you know, like you were saying, that children, you know, children have faith. They have this childlike faith. They have fun. They like to have fun. So I just love that example, because God says, you know, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you have to be like the little children. Mm-hmm. And that anticipation they have to find, you know, and I love the other thing that you said about how God only gives good gifts, you know, so that we know that when we find that Easter egg, whatever, you know, it might be, whether it's an insight or a revelation, that or the outcome, that it's going to be good. It's not, like you said, it's not going to be a rock or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah. And I think we can even see that pursuit or that pressing in when we go through challenges. You know, when we're experiencing challenges in our lives, that I feel like that's an opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, it's an opportunity to see what God wants us to see. And instead of just interpreting our situation through our own eyes or through our own wisdom,
yes,
it's
yes.
an opportunity to say, hey, what is God doing in this situation?
Exactly.
In this situation, whether it be a health situation or whether it be a financial situation or relational or whatever, whatever problems we face in life, that it's an opportunity for us to see God work.
Yes.
But
yes.
we have to change the way we look at it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If we just look at it as, look at this problem, look at this problem, right. look at this thing that I'm feeling, right. look at all the things I have to do, then what happens? Just fear, anxiety,
exactly.
all these things come in. All these things color the way we look at life.
Yeah.
And then we go, oh, I'm so discouraged. I'm so depressed. And we just look inward into what, how can I get out of this? Or what is some earthly wisdom that I could use to, but as we change the way we look at a life and look at it from God's perspective,
yeah.
that we can say, wow, this is an opportunity to, mm-hmm. to exercise patience. This is an opportunity to exercise gentleness. This is an exercise to exercise love yeah. to other people that maybe don't deserve it.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, yeah, we can do all these things, which I never would have done if I had been thinking with my own thoughts mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. earthly wisdom.
Yeah.
But to say, no, this is how God wants us to live. And yeah, I think it's an opportunity.
Yeah.
And
Yeah. Well, thank you so much again for that analogy of the Easter egg hunt, because I know for me that, and I've shared this with you, that has changed my whole perspective on I don't think I'll ever see challenges the same way again. And now I find myself, Ross, asking the question, you know, God, what are you doing in this situation? Mm. You know, how are you going to come through, right? Because we know that, you know, God works all things out for the good mm-hmm. To them that love him and are called according to his purpose. So yeah. it's like, okay, God, I can't wait to anticipate, you know, mm-hmm. how this is going to turn out. And,
yeah.
and so yeah. that's so awesome. And, you know, I just wanted to quote this other verse, and I shared this one with you before. Proverbs 25:2 in the New King James Bible, it says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter." And I just felt like, you know, again, that idea of God wanting us to seek him, not because he's trying to play hard to get, but because it's his nature to seek us out, and he wants us to pursue him the way that he pursues us.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Just in Matthew 6, right, talking about seeking first the kingdom of God.
Yes, yes.
And it's not for us to just, okay, God, waiting for it to land in my lap.
Yes.
But to actually go, yeah, how can I seek? What is God doing?
Yes.
What is the Father doing? He's always at work. Jesus said, my Father is always at work.
Yes.
And so, how can I see? How can I align myself with what God is doing? Mm-hmm. How can I be aware and yeah. step into it? Not just, okay, oh, I see you doing that. Okay, good, you know, blessings to you, God, over there. But to actually align ourselves with that and mm-hmm. say, yeah, mm-hmm. I need to step into this.
Yeah.
Because I want to be on his side.
Yeah.
So,
that's so good. So awesome. Okay, so Ross, I want to segue over, and I think we're probably going to run out of time, so we'll have to have you back, and then I want to discuss when you come back the kind of the adoption journey for you and Ida. Mm. But I thought maybe we can transition to a car ride that you had with your son Jackson, because through that car ride, you know, speaking of the Easter egg hunt, right?
Yeah.
God worked it out and taught you something that has stayed with you to this day. So I wondered if you can talk about that and what happened.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a ride with Jackson. it was a ride because of Jackson. So, you know, we had gotten him 3.5-year-old when we adopted him. And, you know, he's just a kid. He's just doing his thing. And, you know, being first-time parents. And I think there's something about when you have the adopted child with you in a hotel in China mm-hmm. that it's different than when you have them at home. So mm-hmm. in China, you're in a hotel, and this is not your place. You're just you know, renting the room. Yeah. And so there's no habits that you have about how you treat things or whatever, or maybe mm-hmm. less. Mm-hmm. You come home, and then all of a sudden there's like all these things that you're used to do, treating things a certain way and doing things a certain way. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you have a 3.5-year-old,
yeah.
and then they start getting into everything, that it just starts pushing your buttons. Just in like, okay, wait, don't touch that. Okay, don't do that. Don't do, you know, And yeah, so I think over a period of maybe a month, couple months or so, I had seen myself losing self-control, that I was yelling and being more aggressive. And, you know, I'd heard those stories about, you know, how parents shake babies, or, you know, abuse them. And I'm going, I'm starting to see in myself how this could happen. And mm-hmm. if this keeps going the way it's going, I'm going to be in jail by next year. And I was just like, something's got to change. Mm-hmm. So I go, okay, let me, this one particular time, I had, you know, said good morning to Jackson, and he's not looking at me, not saying anything. And I'm, good morning. Nothing. Good morning. Nothing. Good morning. And my voice is getting higher, louder and louder and louder, and no acknowledgement. And so I was just so mad. I go, I got to take a drive. So I got in the car and started driving, and I was just to the Lord, just what is the matter? And then he started asking me questions. And so he said, okay, well, if you think you'd want a different son, what would you want? So then I said, oh, okay. I get to actually put in an order now, request, you know, this is okay. I can custom make. So then I just started saying, okay, well, I think I'd want a son who just has a good sense of humor. And so he said, well, look at Jackson. Oh, yeah, no, he does have a good sense of humor. I want a son who is just a lot of fun to be with. Oh, no, Jackson is, he's kind of a lot of fun to be with. He's, yeah. And I went down this list, and then I was like, oh, he has all these, some of these characteristics. Mm-hmm. So then I felt the Lord say, so who's the problem with? Where's the problem lie? And then I was like, oh, it's me. Oh man, it's me. And so
what was the emotion in that that with that revelation?
Well, I could feel it starting to shift.
Okay.
Right? It's like when you're in the ship,
yeah,
and you can feel the ship starting to turn. And so as I was asking the Lord, oh, how about this? And I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and he goes, well, what about Jackson? And then I was like, oh, he has that. I could feel the ship starting to turn.
Yeah.
Like, uh-oh, here it comes. And then, of course, he lays it on me where he says, well, who's the problem with? And then that was the bomb. And that was like the, oh, okay. That was the eye-opening. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, okay. So it was, and I just love the way the Lord does this, because it wasn't like you point with a finger pointing at me, you're the messed up one. You're the one that, you know, he doesn't do that. He just asks, he asks questions.
And you kind of came to that conclusion yourself just through the questions.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, okay. So then what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Okay. So you bring the revelation, God, what does that mean? What do you want me to do? And he says, you need, if you want to be a father, a good father to Jackson, you need to learn to be my son first. And I was like, oh, my identity. Okay. There are aspects of sonship with the Lord that I don't know, I'm not getting yet. Mm. And it's because of that, that it's hard for me to be a father to Jackson. And so over time, as he's shown me more and more about what it means to be a son.
Yeah.
What it means for him to be my father.
Yeah.
To have him as my model of fatherhood, but also just how he treats me, mm-hmm. how he parents me.
Yeah.
that's when I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
The lights started going on.
Yeah. So what were a couple revelations to you about how to be a son or how to let God be a father to you?
One of the biggest things mm-hmm. was his patience. I was like, okay, you know, with Jackson, he would do things and I would get on him. And then it was like, oh, wait a minute. I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm not without sin. So how does God treat me?
Wow.
And then I was like, okay, I have never heard him yell. I have never felt condemned. I have never felt like I got, I was going to say spanked. A couple times I felt spanked.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's this gentleness and this incredible patience mm-hmm. that he has with me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that it's like, okay, do you want to try that again? Yeah. Okay, do you see what happened there? Do you want to try it again? There's all these questions that he brings to me.
Yeah.
That it's like, oh, yeah. Yeah. And if I'm soft-hearted towards him,
yes,
I can answer these questions and be real honest with him. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, I see what you're doing here.
Yeah.
If I'm hard-hearted, then I can't see it.
Yes.
But if I'm soft and I'm going, yeah, God, I want to learn. And so he says, okay, well, did you see what happened here?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I did it. I reacted out of fear.
Yeah.
It was because I wasn't trusting you that I got scared. Mm-hmm. And so it comes out as anger. It comes out as, you know, frustration and disappointment and all this stuff. And it's stemmed in fear.
Fear, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, that's what I feel like he's been telling me. It's like, hey, you're in a safe place with me. I'm your father. I provide everything you need. You're in a safe place. You don't ever have to be afraid. And so, okay. So that's something that I've been working on.
Yeah.
You know, and got a lot of work to do, but trying to look at situations and especially parenting and, you know, interacting with God and not be fearful. Mm. And not be, what if, you know, oh man, what if, it hardly ever leads me to something good. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. always, mm-hmm. what if this happens and then this person does this, and you run out of money and this and da 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 da.
Right.
And it's always negative.
Right.
And I feel like, yeah, I don't even want to entertain those mm-hmm. questions.
Yeah, it kind of enhances the fear,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. And it's stuff outside of my control anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, just trust in the Lord. Just listen, try to listen to him the best you can. Just be open and soft-hearted before him. Let him lead you and guide you. And even when you mess up, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't have to get all frustrated and fearful, anxious, you know. So, learning that and then trying to press that on to my son and daughter mm-hmm. and saying, hey, you don't have to be fearful. There's always enough. And if there's not enough, we can get some more, or God will provide. Do these things. So you don't have to be. So trying to help them grow and nurture them in an environment where we're trying to keep their anxiety down, trying to keep their fear down, mm-hmm. trying to keep all that down. And yeah, not always successful, but I think I'm better than where I was several years ago.
Yeah, so. And just, you know, my observation, Ross, I just love how, you know, you highlighted the fact that, you know, God's voice to you was not in a condemning way, you know, look, you screwed up again type of a thing, but that he would connect with you through questions. And I just think of, in the Bible, right, Jesus connected with his disciples through asking questions, they might seek him and they, you know, that they could figure it out and kind of take ownership, you know, mm-hmm. embrace what he was saying.
Yes. Yeah, I think there is something about that, the asking of questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As long as you don't do it in a way that makes people feel defensive.
Right.
But I think that really does help. Instead of just telling, you know, especially in parenting, right? Just telling your kids, oh, this and this and this. Right. There are times I feel like, no, it's good to ask questions.
Yeah.
And, oh, what were you thinking? And what was going on? And, you know, what were you feeling as you were doing that? Or, you know. So, yeah, I think those are good things. And for them to verbalize what they're feeling or what they were thinking or what they were not thinking.
Right.
But to just create an environment of communication, openness, and then even telling them. Then this stuff we learned in LOCOP and I think even Kylo too, where we share the deepest forms of communication is sharing our heart, sharing our feelings, sharing our needs. And so even for to encourage the child to do that, but also for us as parents to share with them. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, when you said that, you know, the words itself were okay, but your tone, the tone that you said it with, it just, it just hurt my heart, you know, and I didn't feel very close to you. I didn't feel like we were connecting. And so can we try that again? You know, and I think by saying things like that and just for the parents to be, you know, vulnerable to the kids too, I think that's powerful where the kids see that.
Right.
And then they see the parents, you share some your vulnerabilities, but then it's not just, so let's just move on. But it's like, God, help me. Help me in this time of my hurt.
Right.
And for the kids to see that and to see the Lord come and move in those areas.
Right.
I think it's a great, great testimony for the kids to have.
Yeah.
Where they grow up seeing, my parents, you know, they were pretty honest with me and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they trusted God.
Right.
I saw them and I saw God's hand move on them and change them.
Yeah.
And transform them and transform our situations. And so I feel like, as parents, it's good for us to interact with the Lord and have all these experiences with Him, but it's also our modeling and it's creating this environment in your family where the kids go, that's just how we grew up. We grew up trusting God.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up seeing His hand move and seeing Him do His miraculous things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like that's how we solidify the kids' foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I was just observing also about the way that you communicate, because you had mentioned earlier, it's not, you know, you did this or you are this way, but I hear the language being, I feel hurt from what you said. Rather, so it's kind of like, you know, we talk about using I statements versus you statements. I'm picking up on that mm-hmm. it's not, you know, you are this way or you are that way, but what you did hurt me. And, and so it's kind of, it's taking that accusation out of the language. And, you know, you were talking earlier about most questions are good. And I was always taught to stay away from the why questions. So, you know, your kid comes home late and you say, why did you come home late again? You know, that type of thing. And to change it to a what question. So, for example, you know, what was the reason that caused you to come home late? Or, you know, are you okay? Type of a thing. Those why questions seem to kind of create a little bit of you know, the tension and the a little bit accusatory. And something else you were talking about is like the tone of voice as well is so important. So it sounds like these are some of the things that are many things that are drawn out of the Kylo and the LOCOP classes. And I had wanted to ask you about if you can talk about just the impact that the teachings of LOCOP and Kylo of what effect that's had on you and Ida in your parenting.
With LOCOP, loving our kids on purpose, it's been a lifesaver for our family because it's given us tools. And but I think even more than the tools, it's given us a perspective on what is the goal? What are we trying to do here with parenting? And what are some things we always want to maintain? And the biggest thing is, you want to maintain heart connection.
Heart to heart connection
with the kid.
Yeah.
No matter what you're going through, no matter what the crisis is. And it's funny because it's like, well, that's the same thing that God wants to do with us.
Exactly.
Is he wants to maintain heart-to-heart connection no matter what we're going through.
Yes.
And so that's why I love going through that curriculum, is because it is reflecting our relationship with God and how he parents us. Yeah. And so going through this LOCOP, it's like, how can we maintain connection when there's disobedience happening in the family? There's backtalk. There's acting out. There's meltdowns. There's all this stuff happening in the family. And how do you maintain heart-to-heart connection throughout that?
Yeah.
Even through homework, doing homework and bad grades and all these different things, how do you maintain heart-to-heart connection? And really, John, to tell you the truth, if we didn't go through LOCOP, I don't think we'd be homeschooling.
Oh.
Because, with the homeschooling, we just felt like, because we had been trained at LOCOP, through LOCOP, we're like, you know, just all the different subjects and all the different things that we have to do as far as homeschooling our kids, if the main thing is to stay heart connected with each other, then that it just made everything, it streamlined everybody, or it just made everything more like, just put everything in focus. Versus we gotta help our kids grow and learn about this subject, and then this subject, and then this subject. Are they keeping up with the other kids and all this kind of stuff? Which are some things that you do still want to have an idea about.
Right.
But the main thing is, are we heart connected?
Yeah.
As I'm teaching my child, are we staying heart connected? Okay, they got this wrong. Okay, now heart connection says, oh, let's find out what happened. What was his process? Or I can go the opposite direction with disconnection and go, what, you got that one wrong again? What's the matter with you? Mm-hmm. What's going on here? Didn't you learn? And I just felt like, wow. LOCOP, we receive some tools to help us stay connected. So even when we're homeschooling, that we can stay connected.
Right, right. It just sounded like, excuse me, that idea. That idea of the heart-to-heart connection solidified a priority. I mean, it solidified a purpose, a main purpose in whether it's, like you said, whether it's history or whatever subject, that you have this primary focus, and that is driving your desire to stay connected with the kids. Is that correct?
Even in our things that we say to our kids, I grew up, my parents were, it's like, okay, look at the grades. And I wasn't the best student, but they would look and then go, okay, how come this one you didn't get as high a grade, or this one, before that? And, I think those are things that a lot of parents would say to their kids, in the past. And as I looked back at that, I go, okay, that was disconnecting. Disconnecting hearts, heart-to-heart connection with me and my parents. And so how can I do it differently? How can I speak into him? And so I think, the whole thing about hearing God's voice, reading how Jesus lived and what things he said to his disciples and people, and then just the stuff that we're learning in LOCOP, it's training us and teaching us to look at it differently, to parent differently.
Yes.
To be teachers of our kids differently. So then it's like, how can we encourage them? How can we speak into them?
Yeah.
What are the things? What are the redeeming things that we can see in what they've done in the math, in science, in art, in all the different things? How can we point that out to them and say, hey, you did a great job there. Wow, that's awesome. How did you know that? How did you get this? And so they're, oh, da, 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 da. Wow. You figured all that out on your own. That's amazing. Wow. Look at your handwriting. Look with Eliana, right? Look at your handwriting. It's so good. I don't know if I've ever heard that from my parents. And so it's like this opportunity.
Yes.
Again, it's another opportunity. It's giving the parents, me and Ida, an opportunity to speak into our kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to bless them.
Exactly.
And, again, to bring some correction at times.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that their experience through homeschooling isn't just, oh, my mom and dad just got on me and they just got on me again and again. But man, it was an enjoyable experience that I was really spoken into. And they really pointed out a lot of good things that I do.
Yeah.
And yeah, there was some correction stuff, but
And I really see where you're instilling in them and you're giving them the playbook that God has given to you, and you're passing that on. And it's almost like not the other thing, that the other things are not as important, but that they'll have that foundation of having the heart-to-heart and hopefully maintaining that heart-to-heart connection. And I got to tell you, even, I mean, Yenny and I went through your class. It's been several years now, and I still find, even to this day, even though our boys are grown up, still trying to maintain that heart-to-heart connection. And I think it's so neat that I love that it's so incredibly simple. I mean, not that it's easy, but just the idea. The other, I don't know, it was a couple of years ago, Yenny was having a difficult time communicating with one of the boys, and she just kept telling herself, heart-to-heart connection, heart-to-heart connection. And so that it was simple in the sense that she could remind herself of maintaining that heart-to-heart connection, no matter what the situation was or what the problem was, and that she could remind herself what was most important. And so I just am so impressed and encouraged by these classes, and so I just, for our listeners, you know, I just want to mention that if you have kids, really no matter what age they are, because I think, you know, it can apply, to consider Ross and Ida's and the Danny Silk programs, and do you think you would are you going to offer them this year or?
Yeah, I think Ida is going to offer something. With Low Cop, it's really good. It's pretty comprehensive.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of the problem, in that there's so much information.
Yeah.
The videos are kind of long, on the longer side and stuff. So we've been trying different things. So I think, she's been looking at different curriculums that kind of carry same heart. We've been trying different things. And then, you know, I was sharing with her, like, oh, maybe we can do something where we can just rotate, like maybe find a few curriculums and just rotate them every year and just do one of them different, because each one is going to have their own strengths.
Yeah.
So maybe at that time, it's like, pray about it and ask the Lord, which one do you want us to do this year?
Okay.
And then do it and stuff. And then people,
And maybe you and Ida might create your own class as well, huh?
we thought about that. It's like, okay, we don't have junior hires or high schoolers yet, so we wouldn't be able to, we wouldn't know what to tell them. Maybe as our kids get older and then we get some experience, then we'll do something. But it's been a lot of fun and a lot of fruit to see. But you know, I tell you, John, that every time we do these parenting curriculums, I am either reminded or learn something. I've been through Kylo, a Low Cop, I don't know, 15 times. And every time it's like, oh yeah, I need to be doing that. Oh yeah. Oh, I didn't pick that up the first time. I didn't pick that up the first 14 times. So, oh, okay. And it's because, you know, your relationship with your child keeps changing. The child changes, you change, everything changes. So the things that you did before may not work as well, in a different way to connect with them. It's like you have to find a different way. Even to bring the child in and say, hey, is this working? Are we connect? Are you feeling connected with me?
Right.
Let's try something different.
Yeah.
And so that's why for me, every time we do Low Cop, I think, in fact, Jackson, I think he said one time, are you guys going to do Low Cop? Because, we're getting a little encouragement from our from our child to brush up on our parenting skills. So, I would encourage people to, even if they've taken it, to take it again, because
And you know, I'm speaking just for Yenny and I personally, but you know, over the years, you learn, you know, we've learned I don't want to say bad habits, but you know, we learn from, you know, our parents and from what we see, how we see other people parenting, and they might not be the most effective way. Mm-hmm. And so it takes a while to relearn, you know, new ways, right? After mm-hmm. develop new habits and new paradigm shifts, new perspective shifts, right? Mm-hmm. So I can absolutely see that you know, reinforcing some of the new mindset, you know, takes time to do that. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yes. Yeah.
That's so neat. Yeah. So if any of you are listening and haven't gone through any of the programs, the LOCOP and Kylo, really encourage you to do that. And so, Ross, as we start to wind up our time together, any final parting thoughts, that words of encouragement that you would like to leave with the listeners?
Yeah, there's a lot of things I could say. Just... You know, it's really neat to see what's happening in our church. Mm. I think with the pandemic and the lockdowns mm-hmm. and all the political things that have happened over the years, and just to see more and more people fall in love with Jesus, to see people more and more awake to what he's doing, to see people pursuing him, yeah, I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate people taking steps of faith to do what he calls them to do, to align themselves with what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm hearing testimonies, you know, in small groups and different places where I'm talking to people, and it's like, wow, that took a lot of faith to do that. That took a lot of trust. Wow, you would step into that. Oh, okay. And I'm seeing different people, seeing different sides of different people from a spiritual point of view, and just feeling very encouraged by what's happening.
Yeah.
And I could go into testimonies, but it's like, yeah, there's just different things that he's doing that... I'm seeing.
Yeah.
People's eyes are being opened. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That when you look at their life before the pandemic and you look at their life now, it's different. Mm-hmm. They're not living the same way.
Yeah.
And their trust and their faith is placed more and more and more upon the Lord and what he's doing. And as a pastor, as a leader, as a friend, as, you know, someone part of the body, you just love seeing that.
Yeah, yeah.
And seeing, gosh, yeah, look at the choices people are making.
Yes.
And it's really, really, really amazing.
Yeah.
And such a blessing to see that.
Yeah, yeah. That's so encouraging and exciting, exciting for me, because hopefully we'll be capturing more of those testimonies too, because they're so powerful, like you said.
Yes, so, yes.
Yeah. Well, Ross, as we close our time, I just want to first of all thank you for being here on Catalyst Stories and sharing your journey and your amazing testimonies with us and your insights.
Yeah, absolutely. All glory goes to the Lord.
So. Amen. Yeah. And I'd like to lift up a prayer for your testimonies and for our listeners as well.
So, sure, sure.
Yeah, let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for just the light you provided through the stained glass at Ross and Ida's wedding, Lord, just a way of saying, you see them, it's a good thing, and you are for them, and it's just so awesome, Lord, that Ross could reflect on that, and just thank you for your goodness, and what a metaphor, Lord, that as we go through the storms of life, the bad, the rainy days, Lord, that you provide the light, that you are the light that draws us to you. And so we're reminded of that, Lord. And I just thank you, Jesus, that on that one day, as he asked how you saw him, that he could feel your arms of love wrapped around him. And thank you, Jesus, that that's how much you love us. And more importantly, that's how much you long to hear our voice every day in fellowship with you and heart-to-heart connection with you. And I just want to quote Ephesians 3:18-19 in the New Living Bible. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep your love is. And may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And Lord, I just thank you for the image that you gave to Ross about how our life with you can be like an Easter egg hunt, searching out the hidden treasures that you placed because you are a good father who loves us and is always seeking for us and is always wanting to spend time with us. And so, Lord, help us to seek and to search after you. And Ross, you mentioned this. We're reminded of Matthew 6:33, where you said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to us." And Lord, thank you, God, for answering Ross and Ida's prayer by allowing them to adopt Jackson and Eliana, for opening up the doors. And I know we're going to have them share more about your testimonies through their lives on the next time. But thank you, Lord, for the lessons that you've shown to Ross, especially how to be a son and how to be under your lordship. And I just think of 2 Corinthians 6:18, when God said, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters." And finally, Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit, for how you've given Ross and Ida the language of heart-to-heart connection through the Danny Silk parenting classes, and how they've blessed so many families, Lord, at Catalyst and beyond. And Lord, may you continue to bless and grow the family ministries here at Catalyst, Lord. And so now, Lord Jesus, may you use these testimonies in Ross's life to inspire all of us to become all that you created and called us to be in Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ross. And that's it for today's episode of Catalyst Stories. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration to others. God bless.